Councilman Gebhardt is requesting bid 2023-105. That is... Thank you. Hold on one moment, please. 2023-105 is bid number 22. That is found on page 152. And what was the next one, Councilman? Thank you. Councilman Gebhardt also requests discussion on bid 2023-442, traffic light repairs. That is also, that is found on page 160. Councilman Foley?
Yeah, I have two tonight.
Yes, sir.
2023-103, police undercover operation.
2023-103? What is the bid number? Like, what's 15? Thank you. Councilman Foley requests bid 2023-103, police undercover operations. And that is found on page...
100, Chairman.
Thank you. Yes, it is. Found on page 100. Councilman Foley, go ahead.
2023-065, the last one.
Thank you. That is 2023-065. Mobile self-contained food concessions at Oakland Beach. This is requested by Councilman Foley, and that is found on page, hold on, I have it right here, 189 in the bid package. So, Councilman Gebhardt, all set? Thank you. Members of the council, Councilman Ricks.
The one immediately before the last one related, so that's 2023-064, found at page 186.
2023-064 on 186 is requested by Councilman Ricks. Are there any further? Any other members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman.
Yep.
First item is 2023-069. It's item 14, found on page 97.
2023-069, requested by Councilman Lattisor. Thank you. And that's, what was the page number again? I apologize.
I'm sorry, it's on page four. I'm sorry, page 97.
97. Thank you so much. And that was purchase of Ford Escape SE?
Yes.
Are there any other items?
Yes. I have several, actually.
Yes, sir.
Item number 19, 2022-029B, found on page 124, quarterly fire alarm panel inspections.
2022-029, bravo. Quarterly fire alarm panel inspections and testing, requested by Councilman Lattisor on page 124. Thank you.
Next,
any further items?
Next is item 21. It's bid number 2023-088, found on page 147. It's repairs to E13.
That was already requested by Councilman Gebhardt.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear that. I thought he had 2023-105.
Oh, I apologize. Thank you. Hold on one moment, please. Let me correct my information. Excuse me. That's found on page 147, correct?
Yes.
One moment, please. Thank you, Councilman. Any others?
Yes. Item 23, bid number 2023-084, rubber matting for Thayer, found on page 157.
2023-084, Rubber Matted Fathair Arena, requested by Councilman Lattiser on page 157.
Next item, item 25, 2022-441, Repair Diesel Fuel Fill, found on page 163.
2022-441, Repair Diesel Fuel Fill, from requested from Councilman Lattiser, found on page 163. Thank you, Councilman.
Next item, number 26, bid number 2022-431, Emergency Repairs RS-71, found on page 167.
Bid 2022-431, Emergency Repairs to RS-71, requested by Councilman Lattiser, found on page 167. Councilman?
Last item, number 28, 2022-440, Replace Radiator RS-74, found on page 183.
2022-440, Replace Radiator to Romeo Sierra 74, requested by Councilman Lattiser, found on page 183. Thank you, Councilman. Are there any other items to be discussed by members of the council? Any items on the agenda that seeking to be discussed by members of the public? Any items on the bid package that to be discussed by the public? Thank you. So what we'll do is we'll just go in order. We will start with Councilman Lattiser's request. Start with Councilman Lattiser's request, bid 2023-069, purchase of Ford Escape SE. This is found on page 97. Councilman Lattiser.
Hello, Major.
Good evening.
So, I've got a couple of date questions here. In the first page that we have, which in our binder is 97, it identifies the vehicle, the price, etc. And it has item number one, note one, vehicle on order. Vehicle was ordered March 22nd. Is that indicating that this particular vehicle was ordered by the city on March 2022? I don't mean March 22nd, I meant March 2022.
No, that was more on the Ford side of things.
Okay, so it wasn't pertaining to the vehicle you're referring to?
Correct.
You went out for bid on this on April 2022, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. You're indicating that this vehicle will be paid for code 76358, insurance proceeds. How does that happen? How are we paying for a new vehicle out of insurance proceeds?
We had a vehicle that was damaged in an accident, so we have leftover funds. So instead of using that money towards a cruiser that we didn't need at the time, it was an older traffic vehicle, we decided to use that money towards this vehicle.
You had $25,000 left over after an insurance claim?
As of today, we actually have $93,259.
In totality?
Correct.
Okay, not for a claim.
Correct, yes.
I would say I'm gonna have you negotiate the insurance stuff from now on. Okay, that's all I have on that one, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions for members of the committee on this item? Councilman Foley.
Not on this item, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm getting ready.
Thank you. Any other questions for members of the council? Questions for members of the public on this bid item? Thank you, Major. We'll just go keep you up there and we'll go right to bid 2023-103. I just did, yes, thank you. Police Undercover Operations, found on page 100. Councilman Foley.
Just informational, like what would that cover?
This is for our special operations group, who's basically tasked with drug activity, prostitution, gambling. It's undercover work. So it could be a multitude of different things that they need, you know, basically in the moment to facilitate and do investigations.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the committee? Are there any questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Questions on bid 2023-103 from members of the public? Thank you, Major.
You're welcome.
Next item will be bid 2022-029 Bravo, quarterly fire alarm panel inspections and testing. This is requested by Councilman Lattisor and found on page 124. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening.
Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. So, Chief, I'm reading this and, you know, keeping in mind that we're talking about, you know, the fire department here and the fire station. It said, this increase in spending authority is required to pay for the replacement of addressable smoke CO detectors in five of our fire stations. Currently, the fire alarm system in these five fire stations are in trouble, quotes, condition due to expired CO detectors. When did those CO detectors expire?
They expired, I believe, a month or two ago. I think I was notified that they expired in June,
early June.
Yep.
So who inspects these at the fire department?
We don't. The fire alarm testing company does. So this company that we have contract with does quarterly testing on it. These fire alarm systems were all installed 10 years ago as part of a federal grant. And the CO part of that CO smoke detector has a 10-year service life. So when they came out to do their last quarterly test in the beginning of June, they recognized that that the panel had a trouble on it. And when they investigated, they found that those detectors were the end of service life.
So why aren't they inspecting these detectors quarterly? They come in and do inspections. Why aren't they why didn't they notice this the quarter before?
I don't believe they know that. I believe the date that it expires is on the device itself. So until that device actually goes into a trouble situation, then they go to an investigate. They pull the device down, and then they look, and then they see why the device is having a problem. I don't believe that actually shows on the alarm panel itself. I think that's something that they have to investigate once they find a condition.
Is there a requirement in commercial buildings to have CO detectors?
I am not an expert on fire code. I believe when these were first installed under the federal grant 10 years ago that they had to follow some regulations, and I believe the regulations at the time they had to follow, being a federal grant-funded project, was that they install also CO detectors in the building. It's also a very good idea.
Yeah, obviously. These CO detectors, were those detectors in those five stations, were they located in any of the sleeping areas?
They are. They're outside of the sleeping areas.
They were in the sleeping areas.
They're outside. Usually they're located outside of the sleeping area is where the CO detectors typically are located.
And this company that we're paying to do these inspections, they're not required to inspect the CO detectors, which are outside of the sleeping quarters of our firefighters.
I do not believe that when they do the quarterly testing, they only do a quarter of the detected devices each quarter. They don't do the whole system every quarter. And when they come in, they just test for functionality of those detectors. And when they came in, you know, prior to June, the quarter before, they were all in good working condition. When they came for their June test, they found that those devices were in trouble. So then when they investigated that device to see why it was given a trouble signal to the fire alarm panel, they found that it had passed its expiration date of 10 years of service life.
So you said it was given off a signal that said it was in trouble?
It's an addressable system. So that device will send if it has a problem, it'll send a signal to the main fire alarm panel telling that there's a problem with that device.
Isn't that panel in the fire station?
It is.
And does it give off an audio signal?
It probably gives off a tone, yeah. And I'm sure that tone was reported to the fire alarm company at the time.
But you said these expired 2 months ago.
I believe it was early June, but they were also doing their test around that same time. So this was all kind of happening around the same time. The troubles went in panel, the fire alarm testing company was due to come their quarterly tests. And I think they just did it as one trip instead of coming out, doing a special visit just to investigate the trouble.
Personally, I think little pressure needs to be put on this alarm company that we're paying to do these inspections, particularly where we have our firefighters in those sleeping quarters with these CO detectors that maybe haven't been working at all in the past month. I think that's a bit concerning. And I think this alarm company, perhaps someone needs to have a little conversation with them about that. That's all I have on that one, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions, further questions, comments from the committee? Further comments, questions from members of the council? Further comments, questions from members of the public on bid 2022-029 Bravo? Thank you. The next item will be bid 2023-088 repairs to Echo 13, or I'm assuming Engine 13, found on page 147, requested by Councilman Lattiser. Hello, Christy. Hello. Councilman.
Thank you. I just want to start off by making a point here. The unit was responding, this is one of our units now, is responding to an emergency call at an airport vehicle gate. So once again, City of Warwick is providing, you know, fire service, rescue service, police service, et cetera, to the airport. And you've heard me say it before, and I'm going to say it again. I don't think the airport is paying the City of Warwick anywhere near what they should be paying us. And you know what? I think this is just another gift. They're very fortunate that, you know, they're getting that protection. They need to stop paying more for it. So it says the Rhode Island Interlocal Trust has completed a preliminary estimate. On this estimate, Christy, it doesn't show in the odometer reading. Is there any reason why they don't show an odometer reading?
I can't speak to that. It was generated by the trust.
Did anybody from the city question that?
No.
I think when you're keeping vehicle records and things that are getting done, things that are getting replaced and repaired, I think it's very important to have the mileage on that report that I assume we're keeping. This doesn't tell you anything. What I found interesting was it says, the unit was responding to an emergency call at the airport vehicle gate when, while turning around, struck a cement bollard, causing significant damage to the vehicle. When I read that, I'm saying, okay, you know, this is a fire truck. It's what, 60, 70 feet long, whatever it is. You know, it must have been backing up somewhere, trying to make a turnaround. But all the damage is on the front end of this vehicle. So that vehicle was moving forward when it struck. What did it strike?
The report that I got was it struck a concrete bollard.
A concrete bollard?
Bollard, yep.
And that was when the vehicle was going forward?
I assume so.
Yeah. How is it that we got to replace a front windshield panel? What was wrong with the windshield? The front had some damage to it, chrome bumper, you know, brackets, siren bumper. What was wrong with the windshield? They charge us $2,250 for a windshield.
I didn't see the truck myself. This is an estimate that's generated by the trust. So the adjuster must have noticed yeah. Maybe it got pushed up in towards the windshield, and so that piece also needs to be replaced.
What got pushed up into the windshield?
I don't know. Whatever damage might have pushed up into the windshield area.
You know, I know, you know, this has been discussed numerous times in the past. Well, the trust is paying the bill. Well, the taxpayers are paying the bill. And the higher our claims go, the higher our premiums go. And we have a $2,250 bill for a windshield panel. I don't even know what a windshield panel is. What is a windshield panel? Is it the glass? Is it something that protects the windshield? I don't know. But the damage is all on the front end of the vehicle. The windshield on a truck is quite a ways back from that bumper. So I would certainly want to know, how did the windshield get damaged? How does that happen? But we don't know. That's all I have on that, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions from the committee? Follow-up questions from the council? Questions from the public? Thank you. I'm going to request a no more than 5-minute recess from the Finance Committee. The time is now 6:25. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. The Finance Committee is back open. The next item is requested by Councilman Gebhardt, found on page 152. It is bid 2023-105, repairs to the therapy pool. Councilman Gebhardt.
The pool. So it looks like this is the bulk of the filter system for the therapy pool.
It is the filter system. Yes.
Got it. So what else is left once we get the filter system replaced?
Once we get these items, if they're approved tonight, once we get this done, we do have some work that we need to do as a department in the deck area. Obviously, it needs to be cleaned after all the construction. There is water in it. We haven't turned the heat on yet. We're waiting for the heat exchanger to get flushed out so we don't push any rusty water into the pool as it gets heated. And then we have some concrete work, some drain covers we need to replace. There's metal drain covers. A couple of them are bent and, you know, a tripping hazard. So once we get all that squared away, and we still haven't gotten any sort of approval from the Department of Health, which with now changing out the filter, we would have to get their approval for that as well. We're replacing basically one for one, so it's not usually a big process, but from what I understand, they're also very understaffed, so getting the approval is taking longer than we would like.
Got it. Thank you. And then with all the new equipment that's there, what's the process? You have somebody on staff who oversees that facility now, like dedicated, or how do we?
We have a third shift maintenance person. He's very good. He takes care of both pools when they're operational. So anything that needs to be done, you know, he'll alert me, and then we'll get it taken care of.
Okay, great. And then whatever the process is ongoing for maintenance, does he document that, or do we have that somewhere?
Yes, we have records on, right now we don't have anything pertaining to the small pool, only because it hasn't been open for a couple of years. Obviously it's been a lengthy process to get this open, but we want to make sure that, you know, if we need the new filter system, we don't want to close it down a month after it opens and say, oh, we need a new filter system. We just want to get it all done, make it all right, and then open it to the public.
Thanks. Thanks, Christy.
Thank you, Councilman. Follow-up questions from members of the committee. Follow-up questions from members of the council. Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you. And to follow up with that, Christy, I mean, I know explained this really good where it said the first thing, you know, it was the filter replacement. The second was the chemical controller. And I couldn't hear everything. You might have answered the question already. How far are we from being completed? Are we waiting and then we keep running into new issues?
So these repairs would be the last of the major things that need to be done. But we still don't have the approval, and we won't until we do this now, from the Department of Health to open the pool to the public. So we can't, even if we got it all done tomorrow and it was ready to go, we still can't open it until the Department of Health says it's okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any further questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? I was going to say the population. Any questions from members of the public? Thank you, Solicitor. Thank you. The next item up for discussion is bid 2023-084, rubber matting for Thea Arena. This is requested by Councilman Lattisaur and found on page 157. Councilman Lattisaur.
Thank you, Chairman. Christy, it troubles me that after this bid is opened and the numbers are there, that this Becker Arena comes in with a new number of $2.62 a square foot. The original bid was $1.59 a square foot, and it said does not include delivery. So how did they go from $1.59 to $2.62, including delivery, after the bids were open?
So the bid called for price per square foot, including delivery. For whatever reason, this vendor didn't do it. I reached out to them prior to even the bid minutes being made available to ask them what the price was with delivery, and that's what they had come back and said. It with delivery was $2.62 a square foot, which still made them a low bidder.
I'm going to Director Peschka.
I was just here to help Christy. What happens quite often is when we open bids, as well as the specs go out with details so we can compare everything apples to apples, sometimes the vendors don't complete the bid thoroughly. And Christy took it upon herself, which I was very happy. She followed up because that bid was so much lower than the rest. She confirmed the fact that it included delivery, and they said, no, it did not. Unfortunately, they missed that when they completed the bid. They just gave the price of the item. They did not include the delivery charge. So she, after that, we opened it, got that information for us so we could actually compare everything apples to apples.
So you bring up an interesting point. We have had countless bids or proposed bids that have either made it to us or not, or they were disposed because they weren't complete, they didn't have something else filled in, or is missing something. Now we have this bid that they bid $1.59 a square foot, and it doesn't include delivery. So once again, the bids are open. We put a call into them and say, okay, what's your price per square foot for delivery? I mean, I can do a real simple math problem and come up with a price below $2.70 a square foot if I know what the $2.70 a square foot is. So, Christy, how much is the freight on this bid?
From this particular vendor?
Yes.
It's
that's a number that you should have right there.
It's $1.03 a square foot.
It's $3,090. So their bid almost doubled. The delivery charge is $3,090. The product charge is $4,770. What is the weight of those rolls that are coming to us? Do you know what the total weight is?
I don't know specifically, but rubber matting is very heavy.
They are?
Yes.
They're 2 pounds a square foot. because I called the vendor and I got the weight. It's $2 a square foot. So how do they come up with that number of $3,090? That's what we need to know. Because they went from $1.59 without delivery, and then it's called and said, what is your number with delivery? And they raised their bid $3,090, which is probably about, I don't know, I'm looking at it now, I'm going to say it's 60%, a 60% increase. So to go from Minnesota to here with about 38 rolls of foam, they're charging us $3,090.
It's not foam. It's actual rubber matting. It's kind of like tires, okay. Kind of material.
Right. It's rubber matting. It's 3/8 thick. This particular company's roll is 4 feet wide and 50 feet long. I know what it is. So how do you substantiate an increase in the bid after the bids are open for $3,090 of delivery? Where does that delivery charge come from?
Councilman Lattiser, okay, hold on, Director, please. Identify yourself for the microphone to answer the question.
Sorry, Eric Earls, Public Works Director. Councilman Lattiser, I'm confused here, because whenever we do this kind of thing, you ask us, why didn't you make that phone call?
We made that phone call this time. No.
I was talking, I'm sorry. We made that phone call this time. And we worked for the taxpayers to get the best price. Now, you're questioning whether or not we did our job to get the taxpayers the best price. What else could we do?
You're playing semantics here, Director.
I'm just telling you what happened.
Now I'm talking. When I asked the question, did you call the vendors? I asked the question, did you call the vendors to find out why they didn't bid? I never said, did you call and ask them if they have what's the price going with the freight? Never said that. Don't imply that, because that's never happened. What's happened is I've asked time and again and again and again over the last 10 years, did you call the other vendors and ask them why they didn't bid? That's what I asked. So today you have a bid that's been put public, $1.59. We're getting an additional charge of $3,090 for freight, and we don't know what the freight is. We don't know what the weight is. We don't know what the freight charge is. How can you approve a freight charge of $3,090 if you don't have those numbers? And the other question I have is this the final price per square foot? Who's installing this? Are we installing this? We're installing this. Okay. So how much is the double-faced tape going to cost to put this matting down? And how much is the adhesive going to cost to put this matting down? Do we know that number, or is that going to come to us after?
We don't have to buy any of that from
you don't
this,
have a what?
This vendor is providing us with the rubber matting.
Correct. You're going to install it, or we're going to install it. The city is going to install it, right? So the requirements from the vendor that I spoke with said you need to use double-faced tape on the seams and it's or adhesive to seal those seams. Is that figured into this, or are you going to have to come back to us with another request for the adhesives to lay this matting down?
We're purchasing rubber matting. That's what we're purchasing. Apples and apples. Every vendor was asked to provide a price for rubber matting.
I'm not disputing that.
Well, the rest of the installation we're going to do in-house. So if it needs double-sided tape, we don't need to buy it from this vendor. We put out a bid for rubber matting.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about.
Okay, so there'll be an additional cost to do this job. Okay. So, again, explain to me how it was determined that the freight charge of $3,090 is a justified freight charge.
Maybe we should reach out to the other vendors and ask them what their freight charges were. But that would be a futile exercise, because it'd end up putting us right back here where we are, looking at the low bidder.
If I may, oh, I apologize.
But you're looking at the low bidder.
Councilman, I'm sorry, if I may, please. So to move past this part right here, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask Christy, once you got all the bids back, you looked at the bids, you noticed this one was low, as your testimony stated. Did you already send out the letters of awarding the bid before you called this
No.
company?
No, nothing went out. I received the bids from purchasing. I noticed that they were, you know, grossly low. I was excited if it was $1.59 shipped, but obviously. So I emailed the vendor and they emailed me right back and said, no, it's two with shipping, it's $262 a square foot.
So then you updated, understanding that it wasn't on the form, but then you added it as a sub.
And
so
I had,
the vendor, when they gave you that price, they were not aware of what the other bids were, or they were the chosen bidder, the other bidders were not aware.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Councilman.
So how can you state that? Either one of you, how can you state that the other bidders or all the bidders were not aware of it? This is a public bid opening. And when I bid jobs, I'm at those public bid openings. So as one of the vendors that's bidding, sure, I know what the other bids were because I'm at the public bid opening. Do either one of you know if any of those vendors were at the public bid opening?
They were not. None of these vendors are local. None of these vendors showed up to the bid opening. And the bid minutes didn't go out. They come from purchasing. The bid minutes hadn't even gone out for anything until I confirmed with this vendor what their price was per square foot with shipping.
So there was nothing put out there beyond the opening of that bid with the people present in the room, which were our employees.
Correct.
Before you made the call to the vendor.
I sent an email, yes.
Okay, sent them an email. Well, I bid a fair amount of work. And if I'm bidding on a job that has several items and you're supposed to include this, and if you don't include it, too bad, you're out. So I don't know, you know, where this just seems to be, it doesn't make any sense to me. But in any event, that's what it is. I don't know what the delivery charge is. We don't have the weight. So you have no way of knowing whether that delivery charge is $3,090 or should it have been $2,090, because you don't know. What you do know is it's going from $1.59 a square foot to $2.62 a square foot. But we don't know what the delivery charge really is. Could I have a PCR on that, please?
On bid 2023-084, PCR. May I have a PCR? 86-22.
Thank you.
Thank you. And just so understanding that this is now a PCR and it'll be on the the city council meeting, are there any further questions from members of the committee? I have to do this. Are there any other questions from members of the council? Are there any other questions, comments from members of the public? May I have a motion on PCR 86-22?
I move favorable action.
Second. I have a motion for favorable. I have a second. All in favor? Aye. Thank you. Council President McAllister.
Thank you very much. Unless there's an objection from the Finance Committee, I respectfully request that we pause the Finance Committee at this time. Call public safety. We have a few members of the public here. I'd like for them to be able to have their claims heard. And we have a full agenda this evening. So I just would like them to have their claims heard. And then we can go back. I would like to do public properties after that. So we can just move that to the public hearing for later on. And then if we have time before 7, we will come back into finance. And if not, we will do that after we do a couple of things at the start of the meeting, if that's the pleasure of the chairman.
That is the pleasure of the committee, Mr. President. The time is now 6:46 and the Finance Committee is at recess.
It's called to order. 6:47. First item is acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on June 20th, 2022.
Move to accept.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The first item is PCR 78-22, Paul DiPetrillo claim. As I did previously, I am recusing myself on this issue. I hand over the chairship to Councilman McElroy.
Okay, the first order of business is PCR 78-22, Paul DiPetrillo claim.
I see that there's a memo here from the Chief of Staff. If I may, I can read that memo into the public record if that may be helpful. Yeah, I see no objection. So the memo reads, this matter was originally presented to the Public Safety Committee at its last meeting on June 20, 2022. At that time, following a brief discussion, the matter was held pending the administration's consultation with the city solicitor. Specifically, the solicitor was asked to opine on whether this claim should be presented to the city's liability insurer, the Interlocal Trust, to compensate the claimant rather than pursuing recovery under RIGL 24513, liability of cities and towns for injuries from defective roads. Following a thorough review of this claim by the city solicitor, the record supporting it is simply void of any fact or circumstance that would warrant addressing this claim differently from any other claim resulting from a pothole that comes before this body. It is therefore the administration's recommendation that the committee review this claim pursuant to the above stated note, or excuse me, the above noted statute. Accordingly, if the committee approves of compensation to the claimant for the damage to his tire, the maximum recovery is $300 under RIGL section 24813B. So my initial comments are that it is a bit of a complicated matter because the claimant, Mr. DiPetrillo, who is present here today, states that he was on the city business during this. And therefore, I would imagine that it would not necessarily come under section 24813B. However, I would defer to the city solicitor on that. So I would want to give the claimant, Mr. DiPetrillo, an opportunity to speak and especially on whether he had an opportunity to discuss with the city solicitor.
Well, I have not, actually, but and good evening, honorable members of the City Council. I, you know, as chairman of zoning here in Warwick, it's not enough for me to just look at plans. I have to go to those locations and I have to view these properties. And I may have 10, maybe 12 properties to view. And I do this, you know, in my own car, on my insurance, without a gas card, you know. So my ability to actually be in time to, and I noticed that the claim initially was denied for timing. And the timing should be adjusted to when a person is actually able to recover a police report and all of the materials that are necessary to even file this claim. But I would say that having put, I don't know how many miles I put on each month that I do inspections, but it's considerable, you know, and to suffer the damage, the amount of damage that the car did receive is certainly not going to be, you know, covered by the city the city limit.
I would like to thank you for doing your due diligence as a member of the zoning board. Where this, I think, becomes tricky is not so much that you should be entitled to recovery like any other member of the public, but the question of whether you should receive compensation in full or whether you would be limited by section 24813B. So that being a tricky question, it's a little bit different from it being a city employee. And while I would tend to think that being on city business, you should fall under that umbrella. That is being on city business and not being, say, an elected official. If I dare say one of the members of the city council were driving our cars on city business and were in a similar situation, I wouldn't necessarily think that we would be able to get relief greater than the $300, greater than any member of the public. That's just my personal opinion. But it appears that the city solicitor has looked into this and determined that that particular limit does apply in these particular circumstances. And it might be helpful to get some further information on that so that we know exactly where the line is drawn as a committee in the future. But for the reasons stated in your petition, and I certainly think that all of the evidence is there that you did timely report this. So for those reasons, based on the affidavit, based on all of the estimates, I would be very comfortable with awarding the amount of $300.
Any other questions from the committee? Questions from the council? Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve in the amount of $300.
Second.
One question for the claimant. We should make sure the claimant's okay with 300, given that the claim was for more than that, given that the affidavit as signed would bar him from going to his insurance company.
A very good point.
Mr. DiPietrillo, any questions?
I do. I did submit the three quotes. Those quotes are in the vicinity of $950. I had requested in the past the possibility of using a city sedan for my zoning inspections. Using my own car for these zoning inspections and the extra mileage, and it's a good thing my insurance company doesn't know that I'm using my own car for zoning inspections. But the cost out of my pocket is certainly not going to leave me very happy, but anything the city can do towards that end would be most appreciated. It's around $950 of damage. So while I'm on city time, I guess I just have to be more careful.
So as long as he's okay with the fact that he knows he's not going to the insurance company after to make up the difference, and you might be better off depending on your deductible to go to your insurance company. I don't know what it is.
For my deductible, my insurance company? I don't think it doesn't work well. The deductible and everything. Although certainly I will, I'll inquire. Yeah, I'll inquire with my own insurance. They're going to ask me. I hope they don't. They understand that this is not just my normal driving. I drive so many miles a year, and that's what my insurance understands. That here I am. I'm driving some serious extra miles, performing zoning inspections.
Is it possible for the solicitor to explain how it'll work when it comes to if the claim is granted and how that'll affect the possibility of pursuing for insurance?
Thank you, Councilman. Mr. DiPietrillo, the question that we're trying to draw out here is if the committee were to move forward with approving the $300 claim, you understand that that would be the end of this discussion, but also that you would not also seek compensation elsewhere from your insurance, for example. So that's what's checked in your packet. And then he's just wanting to make sure that you understand that in moving forward in the $300 amount, that is the end of this process if this committee and council were to approve such.
Well, do I have a choice in the matter? Not.
Well, to that end is if you would rather pursue those other options, the committee, their option would be to either deny the claim so that you could move forward with your insurer, subject to whatever deductible and everything else you have. But that it doesn't, you can't do both, essentially.
Question? Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Lattis, sir.
Thank you. Mr. DiPietrillo, do you know what your deductible is on your auto insurance?
I believe it's $1,000.
$1,000. That answers that question. Do you have comprehensive?
I have everything. I'm fully insured.
Not positive, but oftentimes if you have comprehensive, which is an add-on to your insurance, sometimes the deductible is less than, say, collision or uninsured motorist, and sometimes it's not. But if you have a $1,000 deductible, then I think that's a moot point.
If, you know, I would go with the committee with the 300.
Okay. Any questions from the public? Okay, hearing none, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All set? Thank you.
Council President, do you want us to continue with the last two? Okay. Yep. Thank you. The next is PCR 79-22, Chelsea Mello. Is there anyone to speak on that? There she is.
Okay.
Could you identify yourself, please?
Chelsea Mello.
And what would you, the claim was given to us with a recommendation to not approve, the reason being the paperwork was not submitted in a required time frame, nor was there any notification given to the city.
I did give permission to the city. What happened was when I hit the pothole, I never called the police because I was told not to call the police. So I called the Warwick Public Works and they told me to go to the financial section.
Is there any information that's not on your claim form and the report that you'd like to add?
No.
Okay. Yep. Any questions from the committee? Councilman Ritz.
To confirm, the date of the incident was April 4th, 2022.
Correct, yes.
Did you contact the city at any time before filling out and submitting the claim form on April 13th, 2022?
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
Did you call anyone at the city between April 4th and April 13th?
Yes, they told me that I had this here. I was supposed to have like a session here, but it got pushed back. So they kept, when I kept calling, they said that finally I had to be here today. That's why.
But no. Specifically, I imagine that all happened after you submitted the form. Did you call the city, initially tell them about the pothole?
Yes.
Before April 13th when you submitted the form?
No, it happened on April 4th. So on the same day it happened, maybe 20 minutes after, I called.
Okay. And it says that you were turning onto Sandy Lane near Mickey Stevens. Was the pothole on Sandy Lane itself, or was it on one of the side streets?
To be completely honest, I'm not from this area. I'm from Green, so I was kind of just going down that way because I was doing laundry. So I don't know, exactly where, but, right when you pull onto Sandy Lane where there used to be Citizens Bank, it's, right before the Warwick Public Library. It was, right over there. And then you guys were, doing road work over there.
Okay. So it wasn't on the freshly repaved road. It was an older pothole?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And so, let's see. So older pothole, not on the freshly repaved Sandy Lane, but right by where
Correct.
It was repaved, but still on the older part of the road.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've heard what would be sufficient for me. I see that the lowest of the three estimates is $138.79. So that's all the that I have for now. Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee? Any questions from the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. I would point out that Director Earls has stated in his position paper one of the reasons why, if not the primary reason why, he was denying the claim is because Sandy Lane was paved in November 2021. This incident allegedly happened on April 4th, 2022. I don't know how you can discount that. And I see where, and I'm no crime scene investigator by any sense, but it's interesting how you're just turning from one street on to the next and the front tire escapes the pothole and the back tire, when you're just turning onto a road going maybe, 4 or 5 miles an hour, falls in a pothole. I don't know. But to me, I think it's important that we consider Director Earl's comments here that Sandy Lane was paved in November 2021 and there are no pothole present. Thank you.
Any other questions from the council? Any other comments from the public? So do we have a motion?
Based on the claimant's testimony, the fact that she came here this evening, and from my line of questions where we were able to get the information that it was a matter of turning onto Sandy Lane and that the pothole was on the old portion of the road, while I think that Councilman Lattiser brings up some good points, I do think that it's quite possible where the front tire may go right over the pothole or may go over slightly differently. The back tire, for whatever reason, hits it at that slightly wrong angle or the like and gets a flat tire. Based on all of those reasons, I would move to approve in the amount of $138.79.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you.
The last claim tonight is PCR 80-22. Mr. Boyasian, claimant has offered no supporting documents, photos such as police report, etc. Sir, would you like, could you identify yourself first, please?
Yeah, James Boyasian. Lived in Warwick my entire life, and I've never seen the amount of potholes until this last winter. They're unbelievable.
And sir, again, just refresh my memory of the paperwork. This took place on Industrial Road?
Well, it, first of all, where I believe it happened, and I had called it in that day. I've called in several times the Department of Public Works. I called in front of the Greenwood Credit Union. I called at the end of where I live, Strawberryfield Road. And then if you take the left on Industrial Drive, I counted 14 holes. And I asked them when I met at the Finance Committee why they weren't fixing them. They said they can't till the weather breaks up. But I said, all I'm doing is I live there. I got to go left if I'm going to go over to Greenwood Bridge. And I said, I keep banging these things. And I said, for God's sakes, now my car was out of line and it was making a rattle, not a rattling, but a shimmering. So I went, I called the Department of Public Works. They told me to go to Finance Committee in this building. I met with a Margaret White, and she told me to go out and get three estimates, which I did, three estimates. Then I brought them back the next day. She wasn't here, wasn't in the building. So I guess her assistant or another woman from finance come in. And I said, what do we do from here? She said, well, right now, it's not going to happen till April or May before we get into it. And she said, we can't even fix the holes right now. They put coal patch in later on after I called. And I said, okay, anything else? She said, no, we'll give you a call. I said, okay, thank you. Now they denied it because I didn't call the police department. Now I called the Department of Public Works. And it also says I didn't take pictures. I mean, it was snow. It was February. There was snow. There was ice. You couldn't see the holes. It was ice, snow. I forget what it was now. It's back in February. I'm 87, so I can't go back that far with
for sure.
But I did everything possible, except when I got denied the last time this come up, nobody called. I swear to God, nobody called, and they never told me, go to the police department or go pictures or nothing. They never said nothing. All right. So now they want to deny it on the premise that I didn't call the police department. I don't know why you'd call them. And they didn't tell me to anyway. All they said was, you'll go here, you know, back in April or May. Now, the one problem is I asked them, I had three estimates. And one of them, they were all within maybe $10 or $15, $20. The only thing is, I said, which one do I go to? I said, you know, I bought the car at Belize. So she said, no, you could go there. So they were like $10 more than somebody else. So I get to Belize, tell me an hour and a half wait. Okay, 3.5 hours later, they come out and he says, you're a tie rod. I really don't know what a tie rod is, but I imagine it's with the tire. So they said the tie rod has to be replaced. I said, I've been here 3.5 hours. Okay. Come back tomorrow. They lined it up, right? The next day I go there, and I paid them. Now, the next day I go there, and they come up with another alignment. I said, you did it yesterday. He said, when we do the tie rod, you have to align it. I thought I was getting shaken down, to be honest with you. They do. How the hell do you get, excuse the language, how the hell do you get alignment on one day and you need it the next day too? But I hit the hole, and I've reported them all the time, and they tell you come to finance, and they don't at finance tell you anything.
Let me see if any of my colleagues have questions for you, sir.
Certainly.
Any questions from the committee?
Councilman
Ricks.
Okay. You know, I'll defer to Councilman Howe.
Any questions from the council?
Actually, I thank you, Councilman Ricks. I wanted to speak up as it's Mr. Boyajian is an upstanding citizen of Warwick for many years, someone who lives in my ward, and called me immediately upon the claim being denied. I can confirm, and I want to advocate for Mr. Boyajian and say that I understand and I know exactly where the hole is he was speaking of. The pothole was there. Strawberry Field had a quite a pothole that was filled. That was actually called in by a couple after Mr. Boyajian put in his claim.
Are they shooting?
No.
I'll leave right now.
Well, they missed. So so I would say just Mr. Boyajian, and I'm speaking as his elected representative, but also as someone going to defend, not that I have to do this to my colleagues, but speak for Mr. Boyajian, that he's an 87-year-old citizen of the city of Warwick. He did his absolute diligence to go to get the estimates at the places. He went to the first two places, understanding he was looking for a tire issue. When he took it, as he said, to police, took 3 hours out of his day, where they came back with a larger, so he put in that. I do ask that the committee respectfully look at the, listen to what Mr. Boyajian said about the circumstances of his vehicle, the years, I don't want to ruin it, years of his as a resident in the city of Warwick.
Over 3 years in the Army.
And over 3 years in the Army. How many years have you lived in this, in your residence as of right now?
61 years.
61 years. 61 years as a resident of the city of Warwick, and as you saw, has never had to come in here. I think we also noticed that some people went out of their way to shake his hand when he came in. I just ask that the committee consider the upstanding nature of Mr. Boyajian, also the challenges in the middle of winter that he overcame to come before this board, and the patience he has shown to come back to advocate for himself. And I welcome if there's anything I missed, but I welcome any questions further if the committee so desires. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
More of a brief comment, especially based on Councilman Howe vouching for Mr. Boyajian, and based on his own testimony here this evening, I do find Mr. Boyajian credible. In fact, similar to the last one, I think I'm familiar with both of those potholes, just that being one of the routes I take from my office to the bank. So based on all of that, and the lowest estimate of those three being $101.03, I would move to approve in the amount of $101.03.
Second.
I don't really think that's fair to go to the lowest one, I'll tell you the truth, because I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm as the chair going to make the motion. I make a motion to award the claim in the amount of $300 based on the testimony of Mr. Boyajian, based on him coming here tonight to advocate for himself, and out of deference to my fellow councilman, Mr. Howe, who vouches for him. So I'm looking for a second for my motion to award in the amount
second.
Of $300.
Second.
Councilman Walsh.
Withdrawn.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Walsh. So now we have a motion for the maximum amount that we're allowed to award, which is the $300. I have a second from Councilman McElroy. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That concludes the public safety.
Thank committee. You very much.
Thank you. We adjourn
thank you
at
all.
7:17.
Thank you very much, Chairman Foley. We'd like to call the Public Properties Committee. They have just a couple items that they just need to move to the full City Council.
The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order at 7:18 p.m. First up, we have the acceptance of the minutes dated June 20, 2022. Do we have a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Two items on the docket. First item, PCO 15-22, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick, Skydra Development Petitioner. Councilman Howe, do we have a favorable recommendation?
Move favorable action. For public hearing, I apologize.
I move favorable. For public hearing.
All right, we have a motion and a second to open the public hearing. All in favor?
Aye.
And second, we have PCO 1622, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick, 1119 Division Street, excuse me, 1119 Division Site LLC petitioner. Councilman Gebhardt, do we have a request for favorable action and a request to open public hearing?
I would move favorable to open the public hearing.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The committee adjourns at 7:20 p.m.
Thank you, Chairman Ricks. We are just waiting for the stenographer for the public hearing. So I believe we have someone that is here for the appointments. So if we want to call the appointments committee, we have a resident that's here for that.
Okay. The appointments committee comes to order at 7:21. First up is the acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on April 4th, 2022. You moved. How? Favorable?
Yeah. You said accept?
Yes. Okay, great. Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, great. We have one item for the committee. Appointment to the Historic District Commission, George Schuster, Jr., of 15 Riverview Avenue, Ward 5. I see Mr. Schuster is here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good evening, members of the council.
Hi, good evening, Mr. Schuster. Well, while you're at the mic, so the Historic District Commission, would you care to just say a little bit about what you your interest is in that commission and what you'd hope to accomplish?
Sure. For members of the council who don't know me, I was born and raised in Warwick, have lived here most of my life, excepting college, law school, and a few years after law school. Upon returning to Warwick as an adult, I purchased what's known as the Caleb Gorton House on Greenwich Avenue, which was at that time a two-family house that had not been respected for its heritage, but actually had been built in 1770. And my wife and I restored that home to its present condition, much closer to what it used to look like. And then after that, we moved to a house much newer in the Riverview neighborhood that was built in 1860, and we've restored that house as well. I've also served on the Appanog Area Improvement Association and focused on saving the mill buildings back at a time when the Rotary's project was in its infancy, and have otherwise kept track of historic issues in the city, and I'm very attuned to them and interested in serving on the commission for that reason.
Thank you so much for that. Are there any questions of members of the committee? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you for your service, working to improve the community.
Any questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. And thank you, Mr. Schuster, for volunteering to serve. Obviously, Mr. Schuster lives in Ward 5. I've known George for over 10 years. In addition to being a practicing attorney, Mr. Schuster is also very talented with hands-on carpentry, plumbing, electrical, etc. He is extremely focused on aesthetical details, particularly on some of the older properties that he's mentioned, and I think probably several others that he has renovated over the years. I think with George's visions and his views for the city and his respect for the historical value of properties that exist here in the city of Warwick and his dedication to those and his open-mindedness to issues, I certainly feel that Mr. Schuster would be an excellent asset to the Historical Commission, as well as an excellent asset to the city of Warwick. And I would respectfully request your support in his nomination for this appointment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, I also would like to be noted as supporter of George Schuster. I've seen some of the work he's done, very talented, And he's very dedicated to the historical division. So, I mean, he'll be an asset for the city of Warwick, and we look forward to working with him.
Thank you.
Any other members of the council wish to make comment? Any members of the public have anything to add? Questions? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Welcome to the Historic District Commission.
Thank you very much.
That is all we have for the Appointments Committee. Appointments Committee adjourns at 7:26 p.m.